We hear these words from Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You see. I think it's probably safe to say that most of us here have not been ever accused of gate crashing. Well, maybe unless you had such passion for attending Bethany College here that you were so eager to enroll that as you strolled through the gates out here on Marsh Street, it was as if you were taking Bethany by storm. Remember 4 years ago or so, there were the gate crashers in Washington, D.C.? You remember that nicely dressed couple that way? I think they were the Salahis or so, from Virginia. If you're like me, when you saw pictures of that or heard about this in the news, you were probably thinking to yourself, it takes a lot of gall, doesn't it? A lot of nerve to go into a state dinner like that at Washington, D.C., even greet the president personally and so on, and not have an invitation. And certainly to know that your credentials, too, are not what you're making them out to be. What would it be like to crash some other gates? The pearly ones. The gate of all gates. The writer of Hebrews here is helping us out and having us really see that we're to draw near. Draw near with full assurance. But the interesting thing is, of course, you and I know that it cannot be any kind of assurance in us at all. We're aware of our situation as we look at God's law and see our soiled situation. Yeah, who are we fooling if we were to try to come dressed in, you remember that beautiful red dress, I think, that Mrs. Salahi was wearing, and the beautiful tuxedo, too, that the man was wearing. And, maybe they could fool President Obama and others that were there, the other VIPs. But you and I know that when it comes to coming before our God, entering into his holy presence, who are we kidding? All of the outside stuff that people might praise us for, too, and so on, God's the one that can look right in. He can look right into our heart and see our really soiled condition. He can see that we are violators of his inviolate law, inviolable law. And, yes, there's times, too, where we might be tempted to think for our own selves that, well, we've got a little better chance because of maybe who we are, where we've come from, the life we've tried to live for the Lord. And we might be tempted to think that God owes us a little bit something that way, a little bit more of his grace and mercy than others. But you remember what it even says about Abraham in the scriptures. In the book of Romans, it says that even if Abraham were to be justified by his good works, yeah, he had something to boast about, you might say, before the world. But not before God, God himself. If it's easy to pass through gates like this out here, which would be very symbolic gates, and look how easy you pass through, you don't even notice that they're out there and so on. When it comes to passing through the gates to get to eternal life in heaven, those are gates that are really blocked to us by nature because of our sinfulness. Those gates are firmly locked by nature because of our sinfulness. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, it says in Scripture. And God has said, be ye perfect, because I, the Lord your God, am perfect. But, great news here in the book of Hebrews. It's telling us that we have every reason to draw near. We have every reason to be gate crashers, to take heaven by storm. You bet. But it's all because we have a high priest, a great high priest. And you know that's our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole book of Hebrews is highlighting this. And you remember it talks a lot in Hebrews there about the Day of Atonement, how it was in the Old Testament. The high priest for the people there would go one time a year, passing from the Holy of Holies, the holy place, into the holiest of holies place, the holy place, Holy of Holies. And he would bring an offering there, a sacrifice. In his case, because he was a sinner too, for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. This was, of course, typifying what was going to happen one day. And you and I know that day has happened now at the cross of Calvary, where the Lamb of God did pour out his blood for the sins of the world. So the writer of Hebrews has us really think of this. It's as if the body of our Lord Jesus is out on the altar that way before God, the Heavenly Father. And his body even is serving as the pass-through, as the curtain, the heavy curtain that separated holy place from the Holy of Holies. Or it is the what eliminates the real barrier between us sinners and our holy God. And how can it do that? Well, it's because, of course, this God-man, Jesus Christ, lived the life of perfection you and I could not live. And he also has the full ability, because he's God himself, as he takes on our sins, the guilt and punishment of our sins at the cross, and is that sacrifice in the place of you and me and every person in the world. And so there's no more sacrifice for sin needed. So his body really is like that curtain then too for us. Go right into heaven. We have every reason to take heaven by storm. And here's how also the scriptures tells us that we can get in. We've been like sprinkled with the blood now from that holy body. How? Through the washing of water. Holy baptism. That holy baptism connects us to Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This is our entry into heaven. So draw near with full assurance of faith. Yeah, grab heaven by storm. Storm those gates. But one other thing to emphasize right here, and that is we are to draw near in another way. Writer of Hebrews tells us to draw near now regularly to our places of worship. Writer of Hebrews knows too, like all of us know, and you've witnessed already in your young lives, it can become a pattern, and it can easily creep up on us to stay away from regular worship in our lives. Right here we have opportunity, a lot of worship and so on, but pray God keeps you always going to those regular places of worship. Yes, because we daily sin much. Daily we need the gracious forgiveness from our God. Daily we are brought then into contact with God's word and sacrament. We don't have the sacrifice on an altar. We have a sacrament of the altar. The body and blood of our atoner brought to us. Fantastic. Just think. We want to be regular with that. Giving us that great assurance of faith. Offering us that forgiveness of sins. And when you've got forgiveness, you do have that life and salvation. And when we draw together too, says the book of Hebrews here, yeah, we also are doing an encouragement, spurring one another on to do good. That's important too as the day draws near. The day of judgment draws near, the time whenever we'll leave this world for us. But how important it is to be regularly around that word. Most of all, we want to be around that word because here's how we take heaven by storm. Yes, we're to be great gate crashers in the proper sense. And by the way, did you remember that Jesus said this? The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. So storm the gates, dear friends. Christ is your Redeemer. Amen.